Sudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4. Puranjana becomes a woman in his next life. That is chapter 28. Text 37. Correct? Yes. Sitoshna Vata Vashani. Sitoshna Vata Vashani. Shut Pipase Priya Priye. Shut Pipase Priya Priye. Shuka Duke Iti Dvandvani. Sukha Duke Iti Dvandvani. Ajayat Sama Dashanaha. Ajayat Sama Dashanaha. Shitoshna Vata Vashani. Shut Pipase Priya Priye. Shukha Duke Iti Dvandvani. Ajayat Samadashanaha. Shitoshna Vata Vashani. Shut Pipase Priya Priye. Shukha Duke Iti Dvandvani. Ajayat Samadashanaha. Shitoshna Vata Vashani. Oops, lost it. Shut Pipase Priya Priye. Sukha Duke Iti Dandvani. Ajaya Samadashana. Yat Samadashana. Please check. Matsujis, please. Word for word. Sita. Cold, Ushna, heat, Vata, wind, Vashani, and rainy seasons, Kshut, hunger, Pipase, and thirst. Priya, pleasant. Apriye, and unpleasant. Shuka, happiness. Dukhe, and distress. Iti, thus. Dvandvani, dualities. Ajayat, he conquered. Samadarshanaha, equipoised. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Through austerity, King Malyadvaj, in body and mind, gradually became equal to the dualities of cold and heat, happiness and distress, wind and rain, hunger and thirst, the pleasant and the unpleasant. In this way, he conquered all relativities. Purport. Liberation means becoming free from the relativities of the world. Unless one is self-realized, he has to undergo the dual struggle of the relative world. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna advises Arjuna to conquer all relativities through tolerance. Lord Krishna points out that it is the relativities like winter and summer that give us trouble in the material world. In the winter, we do not like taking a bath, but in the summer, we wish to take a bath twice, thrice, or more a day. Thus, Krishna advises us not to be disturbed by such activities and dualities when they come and go. The common man has to undergo much austerity to become equipoised before dualities. One who becomes agitated by the relativities of life has accepted a relative position and must therefore undergo the austerities prescribed in the Shastras to transcend the material body and put an end to material existence. King Maladivaj underwent severe austerities by leaving his home, going to Kulachala, taking his bath in the sacred rivers and eating only vegetables like stems, roots, seeds, flowers and leaves, avoiding any cooked food or grains. These are very, very austere practices. In this age, it is very difficult to leave home and go to the forest or the Himalayas to adopt the process of austerity. Indeed, it is almost impossible. If one is even advised to give up meat eating, drinking, gambling, and illicit sex, one will fail to do so. What then would a person do if he went to the Himalayas or Kulachala? Such acts of renunciation are not possible in this age. Therefore, Lord Krishna has advised us to accept the Bhakti Yoga process. Bhakti Yoga will automatically liberate a person from the dualities of life. In Bhakti Yoga, Krishna is the center, and Krishna is always transcendental. Thus, in order to transcend dualities, one must always engage in the service of the Lord, as confirmed by Bhagavad Gita 14:26. Mam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samachitaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. One who engages in full devotional service, who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. If one is factually engaged in the service of the Lord, Bhakti Yoga, he will automatically control his senses, his tongue, and so many other things. Once engaged in the Bhakti Yoga process with all sincerity, one will have no chance of falling down. Even if one falls down, there is no loss. One's devotional activities may be stunned or choked for the time being, but as soon as there is another chance, the practitioner begins from the point he left off.
Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yatripa tamaham bande Sri Gurum dinatarine paramananda madhavam.
So, we have been hearing in this section of Srimad Bhagavatam the activities of someone who leaves home. Of course, this is in a different age. This is in the age of the Vana Ashrama system.
Jai.
Nitai Gaurachandra ki jai. Previously people were very religious. Now people are not like that. Now everyone is practically irreligious. People strictly followed the Varnashram system. Now nobody knows what the Varnashram system is, hardly. People have gotten great misunderstandings of this. Great misunderstanding. And people are very weak. People have got no tolerance. Tolerance levels are very low. Even the children are on drugs. The parents have to give the children depression medicine. Depression medicine. Huge amounts are being sold. It's very difficult to tolerate anything. People's nervous systems are breaking down. As Kali Yuga progresses, pollution, overcrowding, stress. The families are breaking down. People are struggling. They're finding it very difficult to make ends meet. The rich are getting richer and the poor are getting poorer. The governments are getting more corrupt. Nobody can expect any kind of justice if he is not very wealthy. No one can expect any kind of education if he is not very wealthy. And no one can expect any kind of medical help unless you go to the Bhaktivedanta hospital. This is the age of Kali. Material world is very bewildering. We hear this again and again. Everybody in the material world is completely bewildered. I'm also completely bewildered. This world is so bewildering. Nobody knows what's going on here. The politicians are claiming, "You vote for me, I know what's going on. We'll give you better buses." The roads remain the same. That's the sign. I read it. More crowding. We'll give you more roads then so you can build more, millions more cars. And become even a greater city. More congested, more polluted, more crowded. I got on a train. I didn't take any devotees with me. I went on my own. and I experienced being crushed in a train. I thought, this is very good. I'm learning what it's like to live in Mumbai. I wanted to see it myself. Like this. So people are having great stress. They're suffering. In previous ages, those things were not there. They were not there. Try and understand. People lived a very sattvic and peaceful life. They were very religious. Now, religiousness, they just have a puja where they play music, all kinds of music, and they dance while taking intoxication. And this is called puja? They call that puja. And the children are up till midnight, every day nearly. No wonder they've got stress. Irregular habits, poor diet, the food is rubbish, everybody knows. In this way, human life is becoming reduced. Now if you live to 70 years old, 80 years, wow, you're old, man. What to speak of 100 or more? There is some, but they're very rare. Most people buy 80. Finish. We have some in the Brahmachari, one very elderly man, 97. You should understand, that's quite amazing. A lot of my friends I went to school with, or I joined ISKCON with, they're already passed by the time they were 50, finished. Something, cancer, stroke, mental disease, so many problems. So this is the situation here. And you know it, I'm just reminding you. You all know it. But despite all that, we have to get on with things. Okay, so I'll get on with it. Malyadvaj, King Malyadvaj, he lived in a different age, and after performing his duties, when he became elderly and his sons, daughters were taken care of, he left home and entered the Vanaprastha ashram, which was meant for performing tapasya, austerity. He underwent great austerities to gain the position of becoming equipoised, equal in happiness, distress, hot, cold, hunger, thirst. The list is given. That means he was not disturbed. He was not even the slightest disturbed by any difficulties. And he did that by tapasya, austerity, performing great austerity. And this is recommended for those general people in the Varnashram system. But now the Varnashram system is not there. Can anybody train me to go to the forest and live like that? All of these practices were done in the Varnashram system under the Guru. Nobody just did these things, you know, I'll go out and go to the forest. They all worked under the direction of the scriptures and the Guru. The Guru was there to train them. They got training. Who can train me to go to the forest and do that? And if I go to the forest, if I just went to the jungle now, I went to a jungle in the Himalaya somewhere, and I'm going to live on leaves and roots I can dig up with my bare hands. Well, let's just face it, I'm going to die pretty soon. And I'm going to take bath in the rivers of the Himalayas. I'm going to die very soon. Freeze to death. I'm just going to wear bark. You know, they get some bark off a tree and they make a... How do you get it off the tree? How do you make clothes out of bark? I don't know how to do it. Have you ever seen anybody wearing a bark garment? They're not in the shop. They're not selling them. I don't see any bark garment fashion. Maybe you want to try selling some. You can't get any. You don't know how it was done. And what kind of leaves? Any kind of leaf off the tree? You'll eat pine needles? You'll die immediately. You'll eat any kind of root from the ground? Anything you dig up from the ground, you'll eat it? Any kind of grass? And what kind of fruits? What kind of fruits can I eat? I was in the park once with my children. When the children were playing in the park, and I was walking in the park, I saw one tree with some berries on it. They were green, like a seed pod. They were round, about this big. So I picked a couple, and I examined them, and I broke some open. They had a white seed inside. So I put one in my mouth and chewed it, spat it out. I don't think this is edible. Anyway, on the way home from the park, my children became blind. They couldn't see. They couldn't see. I said, what happened? Dad, I can't see. I can't see. I had to take them. What happened? What happened? Did you eat something? What did you eat? Well, we only ate what you ate. What do you mean? We ate that fruit that you were picking off the tree and eating. Oh my God. They saw me tasting it. They didn't see me throw it away and spit it out. So they ate them. I said, how many did you eat? They weren't tasty. We only ate about 10 of them. So we went and got some milk and made them drink a lot of milk. Milk is also a very good counteract poison. And within a little short time, their vision came back and they were okay. Luckily. Luckily. It wasn't anything more dangerous. So this is our problem. We have no knowledge. We'll be misguided. I misguided my children. Huh? Well, this goes on. We have no such ability. So what can we do? To become liberated. Liberated means you have to become free from the dualities. You have to come to the position of self-realization. We hear again and again, that's what this human life is for. Atato Brahma Jigyasa. Human life is meant to inquire about Brahman, about the ultimate goal of life. And for that, it means self-realization, to understand I'm not this body. Those who are identifying with the dualities, it's the body. I'm thinking I am the body. Therefore, I cannot tolerate. I'm becoming stressed. I'm becoming angry. I'm becoming frustrated. So many difficulties here. And it's very difficult to tolerate. I have to go to work every day. I had to study so many years. And then I had to get married. My parents said, you must get married. Nowadays the young men don't want to get married because they're afraid. so much burden. So it's very difficult to tolerate. How much can I tolerate it? Tolerating and tolerating and tolerating is getting too much. What to speak of leaving and tolerating that in the, for us, that's impossible. So fortunately, very, very fortunately, this was in another age. This is not for us. This is not for us. No. The process recommended for us is called the Bhakti Yoga process. Bhakti Yoga is the only effective process in the Kali Yuga. There is no other process in the Kali Yuga. Only the Bhakti Yoga process. All the other yoga processes are rendered useless. They're useless in Kali. Only Bhakti. You know the story. Bhakti Devi was there. She takes shelter of Vrindavan. Because nobody's doing Bhakti now. Everybody has given up. So she takes place at shelter of Vrindavan. And her two sons are there. The two sons of Bhakti are Jnana and Vairagya. And they became very, very weak. Very weak. They're just lying there. They couldn't even move. That feels like me sometimes. So in Kali, this Jnana and Vairagya are so weak. Who can leave home? And who's intelligent? Who knows how to do things? Everybody's bewildered. They're all bewildered. As I said, the material world is bewildering. And Kali magnifies the bewilderment many, many times. More and more and more bewildering than ever. It was bewildering when King Malyavaj was there. But now in Kali Yuga, wow, people are totally bewildered. Totally. Total. All of us. All of us. We are bewildered. But by Bhakti. Bhakti is our savior. He was doing the Vanashram. He was doing yoga, meditation. They were doing yajnas, fire sacrifices. They were doing other things. But we do straight bhakti. We don't mix anything with it. We don't mix. No. We have to do bhakti as it is. That is said in Srimad Bhagavatam. In so many places, so many places. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojata Janayati Asu Vairagyam Jnanam Cha Yadahaitukam. One who renders devotional service to Vasudeva Krishna, he immediately acquires causeless. From within his heart, he gets knowledge and renunciation. He gets these things from bhakti. These things, knowledge and renunciation, do not give bhakti. Cultivation of knowledge or cultivation of dry renunciation will not bring bhakti. Bhakti produces knowledge and vairagya. Time is going by. So how do we get bhakti? If we can't cut. We're hearing again and again that you have to do some tapasya. We're hearing again and again you must have knowledge. But no one can get knowledge. There's so much ignorance, so much confusion. This opinion, that opinion, this book, that book. Who knows what's going on? Who will help me? And what kind of renunciation can I perform? I also have a need for a place to live. I can't live under a tree. I can't live in the street. I can't drink the river water. Not in Mumbai. I can't eat the fruits of the trees of Mumbai. It's not possible. Can somebody tell me what to do? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We depend on Krishna. Depending on Krishna means bhakti. We have to take shelter of bhakti. Bhakti means to accept Krishna. Of course, there's many people who won't accept Krishna. Therefore, they're stuck, aren't they? They're stuck. Of course, Krishna means to accept Krishna and Krishna's incarnations. We've been reading that. It doesn't mean only Krishna. You can accept Lord Ramchandra. You can accept Lord Narayan, Vishnu. Like this. And you pray to him. You call out to him. We chant Hare Krishna. This is a prayer to Krishna. Please save me. Save me from this bewilderment. And those who take shelter of Krishna, they can tolerate anything. They become strong. They can become free from the influence of the material energy by taking shelter of the bhakti process. We English have a saying, the proof of the pudding is in the eating. The proof of pudding is in eating. If I say, oh, this chanting of Hare Krishna is very sweet. What is it? Krishna Nama Ladua, Rama Nama Ghee, Hari Nama Kandakira, Gori Gori Pi. We say it's very sweet and you will develop great tolerance by chanting this Hare Krishna. The more you chant, the more you will be able to tolerate the dualities of this world. Yes, it's a fact. You've found out. Yes. You found out. It works. Why not? Do we charge any money for the Maha Mantra like these cheaters, these bogus people? No. We could have. We could. We could make a lot of money out of it. Hey, come on. This could have been a big business opportunity. We could have had all the leading corporate people chanting Hare Krishna and made millions. But Lord Chaitanya, he's going distributing freely, freely, freely. Anyone, anyone. The only price is faith, Shraddha. The only price is Shraddha, faith. You have to have faith, but it's not blind faith. It's not blind faith, because when I chant Hare Krishna, it works. It works. You'll develop knowledge and renunciation. And with that knowledge and renunciation, you will be able to live here peacefully in Mumbai without being so much bewildered. You'll still be bewildered, because you're not perfect. But I want to be free from bewilderment. I want to get there. How will I get there? So I'm chanting Hare Krishna and I'm experiencing something. Yes, I'm getting something free. Now you're telling me I can become completely free? Okay, tell me how to do it. That is what Srimad Bhagavatam is about. And you have to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of a pure devotee. You have to hear it from the bona fide representative of Krishna, the fully self-realized spiritual master. And after hearing, you begin to understand what it is. It's not a difficult thing to understand. But you must hear from the proper source. If you hear from other sources, you will be bewildered. You must hear from the completely self-realized, completely Krishna-realized pure devotee. And then he will tell you. In the beginning is Shraddha, faith. You have that faith and you're chanting Hare Krishna. And because of that faith, you develop some more faith. That faith is in the association of the devotees. Sadhu Sangha. Sadhu Sangha. But you should understand that that faith has got to be real faith. Two kinds of faith are there. Laukik Shraddha and Shastriya Shraddha. Two kinds of faith. One kind of faith is unflinching. Unflinching faith in the words of the Shastras. And the other one is faith in public opinion. Laukik, what public people say. Oh well, they're going to the temple, so I'll go. My friend's accepting that guru, so I'll accept that guru. They follow like a flock of sheep. Huh? What is it called? Godalika Nyaya. They follow like sheep. And that kind of faith is weak. It's not strong. One has to develop his faith on the basis of Shastra. Srila Prabhupada would say, in India, still there is some people, if you quote from Bhagavad Gita, they will accept it. Oh, well, if it's in the Shastra, I'll accept. This is faith. Real faith. So, one advances on this faith. He gets some experience. It's not blind faith. He's getting some result. And therefore he does sadhu sangha. He comes to this association of devotees. And he hears. Then he hears more. And he realizes, I need someone to help me. I need someone to help me. Everyone is struggling here. Everyone is bewildered by the material energy. I need someone to help me. Srila Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita, that those who are bound with rope, they're bound with rope very tightly. They cannot free themselves. They cannot free themselves. They want to be free, but they cannot free themselves. One has to search out that person who is free. the sadhu, the pure devotee, the sadhu Vaishnava. My beloved Paramgurudev Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj, he would say that one definition of a sadhu is that person who carries a knife. Why? Why does he say that? Because that knot of material existence, the knot within the heart, that deep, deep attachment for the material world is like a clock that's been so pulled so tight with a knot, so tight, that you can try to open that knot. And I'm bound with that. I'm bound with that where the knot is so tight. Can you help me? I cannot get free. So the sadhu, he comes with a knife. Very sharp like a razor. Yeah, come here. Cut. It's cut. He cuts it. Of course, cutting for you is different than cutting for hair and cutting for him. That cut may be different. That is why you need the direct service of the spiritual master. That was explained in a couple of slokas before. One has to have the direct service. Direct. If you don't understand the meaning of direct, I'm sorry, I cannot help you. Another example is given. I wear spectacles. You wear spectacles. Try mine. Will they work for you? And I'll wear your spectacles. Oh, I better put them back on. Well, my spectacles will not suit you. I needed the eye doctor to make these for me so I can see. And you may say, well, I can't see, I'm bewildered. Okay, well, where are my glasses? Oh, God, they make my eyes hurt. No, your glasses are different than my glasses. Because you need personal instruction. You have to be guided in the bhakti yoga process. Many people come to me and tell me, I'm married, I have this and that. How will I advance in Krishna consciousness? Or some brahmachari comes to me, oh, I live in the brahmachari ashram. How will I advance in Krishna consciousness? Some mataji comes to me, oh, I'm married, what is this? How will I advance in Krishna consciousness? Are they all the same? They're not all the same. And the spiritual master, if you do sadhu sangha, and from sadhu sangha you gain more faith, and you want to engage in bhajan. Because you now have developed faith in bhakti, pure bhakti. But how to execute pure bhakti from where I am? Is pure bhakti only attainable by the sannyasis? You have to become a sannyasi to get pure bhakti? Is it true? Is it true? I have to become a sannyasi to get pure bhakti? You think a sannyasi has got pure bhakti? So many Mayavada sannyasis are there. So many babas are there. They've left everything and are now walking naked Are they free from the dualities of this material world? At the Kumbh Mela, so many of them are there. The devotees were looking, there was one man, or one Baba with long hair, and he had a lock, a padlock, in his genital, in the skin. He'd made some hole and put a lock on his genital. It was hanging down with a lock on it, big lock. And the devotees said, Prabhupada, look, he's got a lock on his genital. And Prabhupada said, he's keeping a spare key. Nobody gets free from the dualities of this world in Kali Yuga. Only the pure devotees. We should have faith in it. These other people are all fakes. They're fake. Just to get some prestige or money. And they're pagala. Mad. Bewildered. So the spiritual master, we understand, we need to do bhajan. We have to know how to do this bhajan and get free from entanglement. But that Srila Prabhupada says, that does not mean you have to change your situation. If you're a brahmachari, remain a brahmachari. If you're a grihastha, remain a grihastha. You don't have to change the situation. You have to change your consciousness. Change your consciousness. How to do it? How to do it? You need some personal guidance. How to properly change that consciousness. You're chanting Hare Krishna. You're coming to the temple. You're hearing the Bhagavatam class. But you need something more. You better ask Radharas Bihari, Goni Thai, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, please help me. Please help me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And Krishna will send you, or will send you to, the devotee. The devotee is very merciful. He's very merciful and kind. He sees the suffering of people in the material world. And he wants to help them, bring them to Krishna consciousness. Therefore, he's established preaching mission. He establishes preaching missions all over the world for the benefit of the devotees. The devotees are the faithful. They put faith in the chanting of the holy name. They put faith in Krishna, in the Vedas, the Shastras. And his disciples and followers, they are to help others by giving them practical examples of how you can live your life in Krishna consciousness. Practical examples. Krishna consciousness is not theoretical. Krishna consciousness is practical. Practical teaching. Practical. Like if I want to learn how to become a doctor, I can get a book. I can get a book from the library. I can get books from the college or whatever. Srila Prabhupada gave this example himself. He said, so many books are there. But will that make you a doctor by reading the books? No, you have to have been trained in the medical college under the professor. He teaches you how to use the stethoscope. You know, they put it in their ears and they listen to somebody's breathing. There's other... And there's other... Different kinds of hearing. Can it be described in any book? Can any book describe what it sounds like? No, you have to be told. Listen to this patient. Listen to this patient. This is this problem. This is this problem. It has to be passed down. It has to be handed down to you. That knowledge, you have to be given it. You can't get it from a book. Of course, there's many quacks who just read books and set themselves up as doctors. But they're quacks. They will not help you. One has got to be trained. There must be training. Practical. Practical. How is it done? How do you get free from this material bewilderment? I'm being bewildered by these attachments to sense gratification. I'm bewildered again and again. How do I get out of it? Well, your attachment is different than her attachment, his attachment. The spiritual master, he engages a person in Krishna consciousness they can do. And make progress. Just like a doctor, the expert physician, he knows what your body can and cannot do. He knows how strong or weak your body is. And he gives medicine of different types and different strengths. You cannot go to the forest. Someone he may meet him and then he tells one brahmachari, you should take sannyas. Another brahmachari meets him and says, you should get married. One he says, you should live in the temple. The other one he says, you should live in your village. You understand, it's different. Different, different. And if we're under the protection of Krishna's representative, we're under the protection of Krishna. We're working under Krishna's direction. And in this way we do our bhajan. Bhajan means chanting Hare Krishna, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, worshipping the Tulsi tree, serving the devotees, the Vaishnavas, taking prasadam, and acting under the guidance of the Guru. It must be done pleasingly for Krishna's happiness, for Krishna. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada has pointed out that Krishna is the center. Krishna is the center. That means we must do it for Krishna's pleasure. We have to learn what is pleasing for Krishna, not what is pleasing for me. If you want to become completely free, you have to move the center. I said this last time. At the moment, I'm thinking I am the center. Everything revolves around me. I see everything in this world as, how can I use it? How can I get pleasure from it? How can I enjoy it? Control it. But becoming Krishna-centered is different. Krishna-centered is looking how to use things for Krishna's service. To use things for my service to Krishna. My service to Krishna that is given to me by my Guru. I've been given some service. There's others have been given different service. But I've been given a particular service. I do that service. I don't need to do any other kind of service. It's so easy. I don't have to think of so many things. I only have to think of one thing. The service that my Gurudev gave me. I just have to do that. I have to follow the instructions he gave me. He gave me clear instruction. You do this, you do this, you don't do this, you do this. And if I have any problem, I go back to the doctor again. Doctor, I took this medicine, I said, but still I feel this and this. Okay, we'll adjust the medicine. Fine tuning. Come back after another week and tell me what happened. So the guru is a vaidya. The guru is the doctor. He can cure the eye disease. He can cure the eye disease. The eye disease. You understand? This is our disease. And when it is cured, we will really make Krishna the center. We'll know how to do it. And then we'll see the reality. We'll see things for what they really are. So in the beginning, we do this, we're working under the direction of the Guru. Something. And something not. It's called Nishta and Anishta Bhajan. Nishta and Anishta. Those who are steady and those who are not steady. Those who steadily follow. Of course, some people steadily follow. I'm steadily following today. Sunday I come. But the rest of the time I don't steadily follow. You can steadily follow in your house. You can steadily follow in your office. You can steadily follow on the bus or on the train. While I was on the train, I was chanting Hare Krishna. Probably more traveling on the train, I was chanting Hare Krishna more. So in this way, you can follow these things. Also, the Guru teaches you how to render this service to Krishna free from motive, free from duplicity. We have to become free from duplicity. Simple-hearted, loving service. Steady. And when that steady service comes, you will get much greater realization. Much, much greater. You will start to get free from all the dualities. You will become shanta. You become peaceful. You become so peaceful, it will be indescribable. You'll just feel such peace. And you'll be tolerating everything as if it doesn't even exist. You'll only be doing bhajan for Krishna. Even living in Mumbai. The days will just go by and you'll be thinking of Krishna. And you'll be peaceful. and tolerant and happy. And then you will make more advancement and you will feel Ananda. You will feel Ananda. Tremendous Ananda. Your whole body will be shaking. You'll think, oh, will I be able to survive it? Will I survive? You'll survive. Because there's more. There's more. But that's another class. So we simply have to have faith in chanting Hare Krishna, the association of devotees, Sri Sri Radha Rasa Bihari Lalita, Vishaka Shaki, Nitai Gaur Chanda, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada, Sitaram, Lakshman, Hanuman, in Srimad Bhagavatam. And from there, keep chanting Hare Krishna and you'll get all perfection in the Kali Yuga. Very quickly. Very quickly. You don't have to go to the forest. You just have to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki. Vancha kalpatrubhyascha kripa sindhu vyevacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.